Hello, this is Norma Sheehan from the Heal Your Hole podcast, asking you to heal my hole for a change, the hole in my pocket. It's just a small one-off payment, no subscriptions, takes 30 seconds to do apparently. So you need to follow the support this show link in the show description. And every payment increases my healing power, so I can continue to tend to your lazy holes, hairy holes, needy holes, itchy holes, money holes, smelly holes, arseholes.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello and welcome to episode number 26 of the Heal Your Hole podcast with myself, Norma Sheehan, where we will look at all the various holes in your life, physical, mental, spiritual, emotional, financial, comical, sexual, and we give them all a good seeing to, or maybe not, because of the mood I'm in. Last week we did Funny Hole with Mario Rosenstock. It was bloody brilliant, went down a treat. He's so talented. Thank you for all the shares, likes, follows, and especially on my Facebook page, Heal Your Hole with Norma Sheehan, with those little weekly videos. Great. Yeah, thank you. Thank you for all the shares and loads of listens. So today is spiritual hole. I am not very motivated and I do need some spirituality right now. Yeah, here in my pyjamas, got the kids out of school. One of them forgot her lunchbox. I drove after her in my pyjamas and she hopefully will be still talking to me later. And yeah, I just can't take off my fluffies. So I don't know. I mean, I just heard of a friend of a friend that committed suicide. A young lad, his buddy has just gone into John of God's psychiatric hospital here in Dublin. I don't know. Anyway, let's cheer up. Well, hey, today we have Josephine McCaffrey on. Now, she is an interfaith minister. I can't wait to talk to her later in the show. But firstly, I'm going to get out of my pyjamas and I'm going to go down to Tesco and ask people how they are feeling spiritually and what's getting them through COVID.
Hi there, my name is Norma Sheehan and I'm doing a podcast this week called Spiritual Hole, and I'm wondering how you're finding spirituality during COVID. Are you depressed? Are you a church goer? Are you a yoga goer? How are you finding your sanity?
I'm pretty well grounded, I think. I'm not terribly spiritual. I like yoga, but I wouldn't overemphasize on it. So, but I am a therapist, so I suppose I've been able to kind of ground myself in just this is life, that this is where we're at the moment.
What type of a therapist are you?
I'm analytic in training, yeah, and play therapist. So I work with small children as well, which is great.
Okay, great. So what are your tools to get us through? Do you have any tip?
Tips? I suppose try as much as you can to live in the moment, not to go too far ahead, and actually introduce some joy into your life. I think we forgot to play, and that's one thing the children can teach us, is how good it is to play and just be in the moment. Go to a playground and if you can, go in a swing and enjoy it with your children rather than just stand at the sidelines and watch them.
Oh my God, thank you so much. I actually played Scrabble with my daughter the other night and I felt great, yeah. But she had to force me to do it.
Yeah.
So can I just say, meeting you has really lifted my morning. Thank you. Do you want to give your name or just leave it?
My name's Una Kenny.
Una. Yeah. Una, thank you. No, you're so kind.
You have twins, don't you?
I do. I have twins.
They used to go to Jellystone. I remember
that's
your
hilarious
face.
And I'm just wondering, what's your way of finding sanity in 2020? Do you go to church? Do you? I see you have a dog here.
I do
you have kids? Do you? Are you married? How are you staying sane?
I have a partner and I have two very grown up teenagers. And I have my dog, and my dog definitely has been my sanity. So I've been able to get out and walk every day, and whether it's raining or beautiful weather, and that's really kept my sanity.
Okay.
I don't think I'd get out of bed if it wasn't for the dog, literally.
Okay. Well, that's amazing. I don't have a dog. And are you a church goer or a meditator or any of that like next level spiritual stuff?
No, I pray. I'm not a church goer, but I do pray, and I find a bit of solace in that. But I do have amazing friends, and I'm part of a community of sewers, so we've been doing a lot of that during the lockdown for medics and for essential people. We made a lot of masks for the hospitals in the initial breakdown, so that really gave me something to do and focus on.
Well, do you know that sewing is a form of meditation?
Yes, I do. Yes, I do, and I'm a quilt maker, so I love doing that. And that really has helped an awful lot for that.
Okay, well, so between your meditation with that and the pet, I think you're on the pig's back. But it is tough though.
Oh, it's extremely tough. I'm very grateful to have that, but I do have my bad days. I really do. Some days think, oh, just throw yourself out of the bed and keep going. And literally, the dog is my thing to get out of the morning and makes me do it.
Great. So thank you so much for giving me a minute. Thank you. You look very energetic and positive, and I'm wondering how you're staying sane through 2020. Is it spirituality? What's your thing?
Basically, for me personally, what I do is, you know, I feel that if I'm having a good diet and cycling, I come for my work daily at 6 o'clock in the morning at Tesco. So I feel like as far as I'm doing all this, I'll be safe, because I feel lockdown won't be helping too much. And staying fit and, you know, taking care of yourself inside out is more than enough.
So you think prevention is better than cure? You're keeping yourself mentally and physically fit and prepared for whatever comes. Is that correct?
Yeah, you know, personal care is the best thing.
Okay.
What I feel.
What's your line of work?
I'm a cleaner at Tesco.
Cleaner at Tesco.
Yeah.
Great. Okay. So you're working early every morning.
Yeah.
Okay. Great. So you physical work as well. I think physical work can be better than sitting at a computer.
Definitely. You know, physical work, and then I go home, and like alternate days in the evening, I have my home workouts. So I'm totally up to my diets. You know, I'm taking good diets and you know, workouts and daily work in the morning. So I think that's more than enough.
Yeah.
For
the last lady I spoke to, she said she prays every morning. You're more about the physical and the diet, correct?
Yeah, it's more of physical for me.
Yeah.
And, you know, having good diet is, you know, it's better for your immune system. So
brilliant. Okay, you are inspirational. Thank you so much. Thank you for that.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Oh, where can I find this podcast?
Great. Feeling a bit better after that. I'm back here in my box in the cupboard, and at least I'm not in my pyjamas. And next up we have Josephine McCaffrey. If you want to find Josephine, if you need her for namings, marriages and funerals and stuff, she's on onespiritinterfaithministers.com, onespiritinterfaithministers.com, and a lovely message she'd up under her own name, Josephine McCaffrey. She says what she finds the most important thing as a celebrant is that all beliefs and outlooks are respected. Her ethos is love knows no religion, no gender, and no race. And love is far more powerful than any discrimination. Wow. She works here in Ireland and parts of England as well. Okay, here we go. Josephine.
So I'm here with the wonderful Josephine McCaffrey, an extremely spiritual woman, but also a very entertaining woman. So I'm going to let you describe yourself, Josephine. What is your title in the spiritual world? Preferred title.
Okay. I was trained as an interfaith minister, and we are given the title of Reverend. So my title is Reverend Josephine. And there's nothing grandiose about that, anything of that nature. It's very much finding reverency in the everyday. So it's finding beauty in the simple things.
And what's the difference between the title of Reverend Josephine or being called a celebrant or a minister? Are they all closely connected?
Yeah, absolutely. There'd be different roles. So a celebrant would perform weddings that would not be connected to any kind of faith or any spiritual idea. A reverent would maybe be connected to a spiritual faith path, but a reverent doesn't necessarily have to be, but it's definitely connected to something greater than ourselves. So it'd be connected to a spiritual realm.
And that's what you were.
That's what I am. I don't follow a particular faith path, but I am
connected
to something bigger, as we all are part of that.
Okay.
We are all part of the one. So that's what my belief is.
Do you meditate then? Do you practice? Do you see auras? Are you in tune with things?
I do meditate. I'm a great believer of letting go of the ego, which is very much part of that. Also just turning everything off and being still within yourself, connecting to your heart and your soul and your mind, bringing all that together That's really important, because I don't think that we take enough time out to do that. We're so busy with everything going on. We're looking at our mobile phones all the time. Something's happening. There's so much going on in the world at the moment. I think the world is one big hole that needs a lot of healing.
Thank you.
You know, and I think we are going through a real shift at the moment of healing. We're all sitting in that really kind of uncertain moment,
yeah,
in our existence, and I think that is kind of pushing a way forward to a new day. Through,
do you think we're going to be forced more to spirituality because of the state of the planet and the state of, you know, COVID and the economic future, that we have to look to spirituality and look to our heart and our soul and the little things, smelling the roses?
Yeah, and I think that being forced into spirituality, I think what we'll be doing is coming back to ourselves, coming home to ourselves again. As I say, so the couples that I marry, it is nice to have a beautiful dress. It's wonderful to have a great venue, and it's great to have people there that you love. But the most important thing, and the thing that needs to be honoured and respected, is that you're making the biggest commitment to the person that you love. Mm-hmm. And that's what is so special about your day. And that's means everything, and the rest of it's lovely, but that's what really, really matters. And I think sometimes in terms of ceremony, you kind of lose that a bit, you know, like with you watch children when they're having their first Holy Communion, it becomes very much about the dress and how much money did you get and all of that kind of material thing.
Yeah.
And it's very sad that we're kind of cutting off that kind of spiritual connection with what it's meant to be about. If somebody, you know, when they're arranging their funeral, or is there going to be an afterlife? Is there nothing?
What
do I think?
Is there an afterlife?
Is there an afterlife? I think my own personal belief, I think death is another realm of consciousness that we're not in tune with yet. I think I just don't think you die and that's it.
Mm.
Not for a second. There's definitely something greater. I don't know what it is, but I can feel it. You know, there is a sense of God in everything. I don't believe in a man in a cloud looking down, but there is, for me, there's a sense of God in a connection between two people.
Even the coldest, most cynical person would have stories of going, okay, that's weird. That person must have lived before. Oh, whoa, that's spooky. There's definitely someone present, or you know, you can't deny that everyone has an experience of someone from the afterworld.
Absolutely. And I've had some experiences in my life where they've just completely, you couldn't explain it rationally.
Give us one.
one example was when I was staying in my father's home after he passed away in Leitrim, and he liked to smoke a pipe now and again. It's a real kind of strong smell. And it was a good couple of years after he'd passed away, and I walked into the lounge. This is going to sound crazy, but there was pipe smoke coming through, and there was nothing. There was no other way, and I could smell it so strong. And I think our senses are very kind of pick up on those things as well. So, and I felt it very strong, and I think that's where hypersensitivity comes into that as well. It's being more open to the ideas and the possibilities of different energies in the room and picking up on it.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
And you, it wasn't your dad's passing inspired you to go into this or anything? There wasn't any particular turning point. It just was a natural progression to add another string to your bow, we'll say, from the improvising, the comedy, and now being Reverend Josephine.
I think it's absolutely, definitely connected. When my father passed away, it was the most traumatic moment of my life to date. I was very close with him. I was a real daddy's girl. And we all, you know, we all adore our dads, you know. And when he passed away, I felt like a huge hole because we were mates as well, you know. And that was, yeah. And so I was a bit lost and I kind of stopped performing and I'd stopped singing. And I just, there was a huge part of me that really needed healing and needed acknowledging, but I kind of shut myself off to that. I just kept going and going and going and going.
For how long?
For a good few years, yeah. And I think we don't honour grief the way we should. You know, we don't. We just kind of want to keep going and just not feel the pain, because feeling pain is just kind of, we don't want to feel the rawness of that loss, and it's so hard, and it's like, oh, it's,
yeah.
When I moved to Dublin, I created Laughter Lines, which was a real kind of...
therapy.
Yeah. Just to have, when you come through grief, I think to learning to laugh again. And when you start laughing again for the first time after grief, it's such a release. You really, really feel it, you know.
And singing is another release. Yeah. Did you sing at your dad's funeral?
No.
No, couldn't barely speak.
No, I read a poem he wrote, and so that was kind of my offering to the funeral.
Was it sudden with your dad?
No, he was sick for 8 months before he passed, so it was kind of sudden, but it wasn't. We weren't expecting it because he was a very healthy man. He loved golf. He was like up every morning doing the gardening out in the farm. He was very, very active. And when he got sick, it kind of floored him completely. So it was a shock in a way. And then we thought he was going to get better, and then
didn't.
So it's
would 2020 have suited him? Because 2020 wouldn't have suited my mother, I tell you that much.
No, God, with the pubs being closed.
Yeah,
what in God's name?
No,
not at all.
Planning my own funeral, right? Because I don't want, like, say if I die now on the way home today, right? Just let them know there's a recording here.
Okay.
That I don't know what I want, but I already know what I don't want.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want a whole family stressed, planning things that are highfalutin bollocksology. I just like simplicity. I certainly don't want a load of people speaking on the altar who've never met me and calling me Nancy or something by mistake. So I suppose a bit of crack and a bit of I mean someone like you, I barely know you, but I do think I could see. Have you ever planned a funeral with somebody? No, they don't do that before they die, do they?
Well,
or when they're dying, maybe.
I've written two funeral ceremonies for people who've asked me to write them, who are fit and healthy and fine.
Oh my God.
No.
That's brilliant. See, that's where I'm at. Right, okay. So it's done. People do that.
Yeah, people just want to know that it's kind of cathartic in a way as well. It's kind of you know, releasing a lot of stuff, saying things that you think that you can't say in this realm. You can't, you know.
They tell you what they want said at their funeral almost. They give you the some bits and then you deliver it.
Put it together and then, yeah.
Wow.
So that's And again, it's just, I think spirituality is so personal. It's so different for everyone. Such a personal.
And they're not
thing.
None of them have put, like, imagine if they'd put in the script from the other side going, "Hey, Auntie Peggy, you're a bolivon and Jim Bob never liked you." There's nothing like that.
She never liked you anyway. You're a little bollocks, you said.
So there's none of that shit.
No.
Okay.
No.
That'd be awful.
Awful. I was born in Leitrim and grew there. I grew up there till I was 10 years old, and then we moved to Devon. And my dad was a real Leitrim man, you know, proper swearing all the time, and he'd be like, "Girls, get into fuck, will you now? Jesus, there was fucking raining, and you know, all of this," and all the other parents, but, you know, my goodness, I didn't believe it, what's going on here, but there.
And it's funny how one person, so if my dad spoke like that, no one would bat an eyelid.
No.
Whereas if my daughter comes into the kitchen and goes, "Oh, you're fucking and fucking," and you're just going, "But no, but it doesn't suit you." Like, that's just... Mm. So it depends what you're used to hearing out of a particular person and the way they deliver it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, and the situation.
Absolutely. And being in comedy, and I'm writing a one-woman show at the moment, and...
Great. Have you a name for it?
Well, I called it Gagging for It.
Brilliant. Are you gagging for it?
Gagging for It.
Oh, brilliant.
But...
And when will Laughter Lines be opening up to you? I reckon next year sometime, hopefully.
Possibly next year. Yeah.
But you're writing away.
I am writing away. I'm writing.
Love the title, Gagging for It.
I know. Well, I brought it to Edinburgh and did a short bit of it. And now I'm working on it to last year. And then now I'm building on that.
How long was the bit in Edinburgh last year?
It was only 20 minutes. It was very short.
Still, that's a lot, right? But ideally, with COVID, all they want is an hour. So if you can get it up to the hour, they'll be delighted with you. They don't want intervals.
Mm-hmm.
They don't want to keep anyone in a room for more than an hour. 10. So if you have the 60 minutes, like my own show, you're on the pig's back.
Well, that's
Is it filthy?
Not really. I wouldn't say filthy. When I went to become a minister, one of my first questions was that I do comedy and I tell rude jokes and I swear sometimes. Is it still all right if I do the course?
Yeah.
And they're like, "Of course, that's welcome. We love comedy. You're absolutely
great.
Welcome." So I was like, "That's all right. You can still tell rude jokes and be fine, so it's not filthy. It's about cultural clashes between England and Ireland, and about discovering, like, you know, your own sexuality, and about kind of growing into a woman and being kind of judged instantly as soon as you step into that woman realm, you know, and you start developing breasts and men start looking at you differently, and how you look is like equates to the type of person you are, you know. And I, throughout my whole 20s, you know, always being leered at by men because I have big bosoms, so that must mean you're gagging for it.
That's,
you know,
hilarious. Like, not hilarious back then, but
because
I've, like, I don't have big boobs, so I never really thought of that. I've always been trying to pump them up and put a bit of padding around them. And you've been strapping yours down.
Strapping mine down. And I used to be really conscious when I was in my 20s about my bosoms, and like worried that people were looking at them, or did they look too big, or this dress won't fit because it won't go. And now I go, they're there. I don't care anymore. Deal with it.
But
whatever.
It's really hard as a teenager. Whatever. If you can't do sport, if you can't get food, if you can't get clothes that fit you, if you can't get, if your back is sore, it's just not fit. I think when you're an older woman, it's fine, but the teenager transition, if you've got gigantic boobs, it's really hard.
It's so difficult. Like, I remember being 14, being at a swimming pool, and two older men in their 40s were leering at me, right? And that's when kind of dawned on me that I'm something different now. I'm being seen differently.
Can you do a wedding from a distance? Or a naming from a distance? Have you done anything online instead?
I've done a blessing for an American couple who were meant to come over here this year, and they were going to get married on the Kerry Mountains, just the two of them looking over, and just, it's, you know. And they couldn't come, and they were heartbroken, so I did a blessing over Skype. So I sang to them, I read them a poem, I gave them an Irish blessing, and it was really beautiful. Even though they couldn't be here, it was a connection with Ireland on the morning of their wedding. And I think we don't go to church anymore. Mm. Like, that was a huge part of the Irish culture, yeah, was going to church every
week.
Where
you stopped everything and you just sat, and that was the meditation in itself.
It was, yeah. Yeah. And, you know, we don't do that anymore. And yeah, and I think there's a healing process that needs to come from what happened with the Catholic Church, and it's not acknowledged and it properly, or it's not kind of spoken about properly. There's a lot of anger, huge amount of anger again, which is completely understandable and 100% justified, you know, because it was meant to be about love and caring, and it turned into something completely opposite.
So it was about people getting together.
Yeah, and I think that there's a lot of blockage there. A lot of holes are blocked, you know, and you can't kind of heal with anger on anger. You have to kind of look at it and see what effect that's had on our society. What kind of not coming together weekly, how has that affected us?
Yeah.
And laughter's a huge release. You know, it's a massive release of so many emotions.
Sure, people laugh at funerals, absolutely.
Yeah,
they do.
Yeah. Because it's a reaction, it's a valid reaction as crying. It's an emotion that should be welcomed everywhere, because it's as valid as anything. Because you could be laughing about the irony of a situation. You could be so, it's your nervous system reacts to everything differently, and it's all okay. There's no right or wrong way to react.
Okay.
Different cultures, they wail.
Yeah.
They wail their dead. They really, you know.
I think it's New Zealand, they wail for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
The Maoris, and then you're not allowed to mention the person again.
Well,
that's a bit much.
A bit much.
Yeah, that's like 2 weeks of fake yeah wailing and then never mention them again.
Yeah.
That is a bit much. But in Ireland, it goes on forever.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, this mass, that mass, the month's mind, the anniversaries,
But all of that's busyness. That's kind of keeping you going. It's forgetting the grief and the pain. It's like,
so
make the sandwiches, make the tea, clean the house, keep busy, don't think about your grief.
Yeah.
Be sad. I went to the doctor after my father died because I was floored. I was just in so much emotional pain. And I was given antidepressants.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
But you're grieving. You can feel it's okay to be sad. It's okay.
Someone suggested
to
them
cry.
To me as well earlier in COVID. Someone suggested maybe you need something. And I was going, what? Because I'm crying because I have PMT. Because I'm wailing because it's 2 days before my period. I need to go again. I don't think so. Yeah. So we'll wrap this up, Josephine.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. And is there anything else now? Any other aura stories or...
No, just keep all your holes as healed as you possibly can.
Yeah.
Love your holes. Look after your love hole, your spiritual hole, your heart hole. Keep them all.
There's so many, isn't there?
There's so many holes, especially at the moment. We need to really...
Fill them up with love.
Fill them up with love. Yeah.
Well, I tell you, it's lovely being in your presence, because you've a radiant face, you've a absolute glowing gorgeous smile. And I don't smile a lot. I have a bit of an old mopey head, and you've a contagious smile, so I must say. So thank you very much.
Thank you,
Rashi, for talking
to
us.
It's been a pleasure.
And we haven't started my funeral yet.
So oh yes.
Basically, if I die on the way home, lads, you're taking over.
I'm taking over
all the comedy,
everything,
whatever.
Yeah.
And to be fair, I've no messages for anyone. They were all sound enough. They were all nice to me. Yeah, they were all lovely.
She loved you all.
Thanks, Amelia and Josephine.
No worries. Thank you, Norma.
Ah, I felt very zen after being with Josephine. So thank you, Josephine McCaffrey, onespiritinterfaithministers.com, if you need to plan your funeral. Yeah, I need to get a few more things down in stone, set in stone. Okay, till next week, if you enjoyed the podcast, tell your friends. If you didn't, shut your hole as usual. And next week we're doing Halloween hole, horror hole, scary hole, one of those. Yeah, I might blow something up. Okay, keep liking, subscribing, following, sharing. It's very helpful for me. Thank you very much. Till next week, keep the chin up.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.